Matthew, the 13th chapter, where Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." This is the gospel of the Lord, and this is our text. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, brothers and sisters of Christ. As Christians, we should understand that in the gospel, we find the person of Christ Jesus and his work on our behalf for the forgiveness of our sins and the hope of eternal life. We should further understand this to be our greatest treasure. St. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." The hymn writer Johann Franck put forth in his hymn, "Jesus' Priceless Treasure," these words: "Hence, all earthly treasure, Jesus is my pleasure, Jesus is my choice. Hence, all empty glory, not to me thy story, told with tempting voice, pain or loss or shame or cross, shall not from my Savior move me, since he deigns to love me." Certainly this side of heaven, mankind pursues many things that are considered to be treasures. We look for investment opportunities, stocks, bonds, real estate, hoping to buy low and sell high, and in the interim then receive an adequate dividend as we hold on to them. We seek to better ourselves vocationally so that we can have more responsibility, which of course brings higher income. Or maybe we treasure having less responsibility, less stress and hours, so we might be willing to sacrifice income for lower stress and more free time. Maybe that's what we treasure. Who has not thought about stumbling upon something while at first looks seemingly ordinary, yet in reality is an item of great worth? It might be as simple as working your way through items stacked on a sale table in a department store, or inheriting something that you find packed away in a closet or in a hope chest that was long forgotten by a grandparent or an aunt or uncle or maybe a parent, yet it has significant value and now it's yours and you rejoice. Who has not bought something saying it might be worth something someday as the reason for making that purchase? The last couple of weeks, we have heard parables spoken by Jesus about the kingdom of God. We have heard him speak about the sower of the seed and the receptiveness of the soil upon which that seed falls. We were given to know that the seed sowed was the word of God. And some of the seed fell on hard hearts, hearts that failed to understand that which was shared, or who rejected the messenger and the message that was being sown, and so it was snatched away by the evil one. Other seeds sprang to life quickly in shallow soil, but had no root. And so the faith created instantly, causing great joy, wilted as the heat of trouble or persecution confronted the hearer. Other seed was choked out by the worries and the cares of the world, as well as the deceitfulness of riches. Yet some of the seed fell on good and receptive soil and produced a harvest, bearing fruit, as indeed disciples of Jesus Christ are planted to bear fruit, doing the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do as a witness to and a benefit for our neighbor, all in glory to God. Last Sunday, we heard the parable of the wheat sown by the Son of Man and the tares, or weeds, planted by the evil one, by the devil. As both grow in the world, they are intermingled, and so to pull one might also include pulling out the other fruitful plant. So in the explanation by Jesus, the disciples were instructed to let them grow together until the last day, the day of the spiritual harvest, when the weeds and the wheat will be separated, with the weeds cast into the fire and the wheat put in the garner forevermore. Well, as Jesus taught, he used parables to share information about the kingdom of God. And in so doing, he shares something about the king and those who would receive him as their king and those who would not. The kingdom of heaven is like, Jesus would say. Those whose ears heard and were given to understand were then his loyal subjects, his disciples, those who followed him. Those whose ears were closed or heard only what they wanted to hear rejected the one teaching as well as what he taught. And that's why Jesus spoke in parables. In fact, they were put off by his words and therefore denied and rejected the teacher who was indeed their king. The same can be said of people today, even those who may be on the rows and in the pews of a church. We talked about that last week. As the church is invisible, God knows the heart. As I put forth last week, the very church on earth may consist of both believers and unbelievers, wheat and tares, those who have been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom by faith, and those who, hearing, do not understand because they either completely reject what is proclaimed or choose to believe only what they want to believe while demanding what they think they have coming to them because membership has its privileges. They, like those on the outside of the church, will find themselves locked out on the day of the king's return, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So at the urging of our king, he who has ears, let him hear. This morning we have parables without the explanation, like we had the past 2 weeks, as put forth. The parable of the sower and the parable of the wheat and the weeds. We have a treasure hidden in a field, a pearl of great value, and a net that was thrown into the sea to gather fish of every kind. Along with these parables from our gospel reading for this morning, we also have these words from Moses, as shared in our Old Testament reading from the book of Deuteronomy. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Many over the years have put forth that the first two parables from our text for this morning refer to Christ as the treasure that is hidden in the world as well as hidden in the scriptures. Dr. Jeffrey Gibbs, one of the professors at our St. Louis Seminary, puts forth that virtually all commentators known to me have read these stories, these stories from our text, these parables, as intended to describe or motivate the reader to discipleship and commitment in following Christ and seeking God's grace or some such understanding. So therefore then, Christ being sought and found leads to the one finding him in the field or as the pearl of great value, and then selling everything he has in order to buy the field or to buy the pearl. But we also understand from the teachings of Holy Scripture that we cannot buy, we cannot earn, we cannot merit our salvation. We cannot purchase God's favor. Does that understanding come to bear as we seek to have ears that hear and understand our parables for this morning? As I mentioned at the outset, Jesus indeed is our greatest and truest treasure. He is the center of the gospel, which proclaims him as the very source of our salvation. That is not hidden from us, but is there in the pages of the prophets, the evangelists, and the apostles, for those who have ears to hear. That gospel is to be proclaimed in the world by the church, those whom our Lord by his Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies to be his own. This message goes out from the church, God's special people, so that others might be added to God's chosen race, his royal priesthood, his holy nation, a people for his own possession, as St. Peter writes in his first epistle. This people, just like those in the Old Testament account, are chosen, holy, they're precious because he loves them and has promised to be their God, and he has made them by his grace his people. He has redeemed them, bought them back from sin, death, and the power of the devil. They are a king's treasure. This is true even though there was nothing worthy in us that we should be bought with the very blood of Jesus through his innocent suffering and death. As the church of God, we are his treasure, because Christ Jesus gave everything he had in order to buy us back, to redeem us through his holy precious blood, to bridge the gap that was caused by our sin so that we might be made right with the God who made us. Just as the man in the first parable did, God in Christ Jesus did this for the whole world, the field, so that all who would believe in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Professor Gibbs writes, if the hidden treasure and the pearl are in fact parables that reveal in narrative form what Jesus has come to do, then their impact on Jesus' disciples then and now is primarily one of assurance and encouragement for the difficult life of discipleship during the time that still looks forward to the consummation of the age, the end of all things. Before and after these parables, the Lord tells his disciples, there will be persecution. There will be trouble. They will suffer because of the name, and that name being Jesus Christ. We still look forward to the consummation of the age, which is that day when the wheat and the tares are separated, and the fish in the net are sorted, the good from the bad, pointing to those who in faith receive God's eternal kingdom. So as we consider our King and his treasure, we see in these short parables about the kingdom of God that it is God working in and through Israel, or God in Christ Jesus working in the world through the church, giving himself, all of himself, everything he has, so that he might bring us to himself, not counting our sins against us, giving us forgiveness and life, life unto everlasting life. He exchanged the throne of heaven for the throne which was a cross, so that giving himself into death, he might purchase you, to be his own forevermore. In your hearing, then, know that Jesus is King of Kings, and by his free and abundant grace, you are a king's treasure. Amen. May this peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.